Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, welp.
Yeah, that game went how it was always going to go.
Yeah. It's funny. You know, normally every show we have a Bet Online sponsor, a live read, right? And I picked the games or whatever. And I looked at the schedule and I was actually kind of bummed that we didn't have a Bet Online read for yesterday's show. The show leading up to this game, because the safest bet in the sport was the Jazz running the Lakers off the court in this one. It was inevitable. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't some aspects of it that we aren't going to talk about and further discuss. But I saw quite a few people dunking on the Lakers for this one. It's like let's just go out and wear a sign that like I have not been paying attention.
Sure.
If you're taking a victory lap after this one, you deserve to run headfirst into a hurdle.
Let them get them all in. Let them get them.
That's fine. I mean, it's nice though. You know, the shouts to the Celtics for giving me some stuff to smile about heading into this one.
Oh, it's been the best part of the first half of the season. It's funny. I haven't tweeted a ton about that, but it's been so enjoyable. And after every loss, I go and put Celtics in a Twitter search engine. And you know, it's the most recent thing that just kills me is, go ahead and guess. Do you have some ideas?
Is it Fire Brad?
No. It's much better than this. No. It's deeper than, no. Anthony, every time they lose, I go and put Celtics in the search, Twitter search, and I just giggle my ass off at whatever I can find. So no, these are deeper cuts from Celtics Twitter than just that, right? Like those are the top 40 hits.
Yeah.
Kemba Walker smiles all the time, drives him crazy. So the other day, Luka, I think it was yesterday, Luka bombs that three. It's a game winner, right? Yeah. There's a shot of Kemba after the game giving him a hug, and he's got this big smile. And Kemba's like just like the nicest guy. You know what I mean? Like he's just got the most like well-tempered person. He's just kind of always like that, right? But when your team stinks and he hasn't had a particularly good year and he's on a big contract, right? Like the fact that he's always happy while they are truly miserable, like they hate this team so much. It's so funny. It's amazing. Like seeing Kemba like smiling all the time just drives them up a wall, and it's the funniest thing.
I was going to fire this off, but you know what? I'm going to be that kind of reckless on this show. But do you think when somebody who looks like Luka Doncic hits a three-pointer on the Celtics,
oh boy,
that fan base does the actual Alonzo Mourning gif?
I'm leaving that alone, Anthony.
All right, let's go ahead and focus on this one. So on this one, I want to talk about a few things. I want to talk about, you know, the lack of, I think Vogel got creative with the starting lineup, obviously. It was a different starting lineup, and it was nice to see him tweak that a little bit. But I would take it a step further, man. Like we've reached that point, and when we saw Jared Dudley a little in this game, and obviously it was garbage time, so we got some Alphonso McKinney and some Devontae Kaycock minutes as well. And I'm not saying that these guys are you know, fixes to all of everything that ails the Lakers right now. But like at some point, even if it isn't rewarding those other guys for anything, because it's hard to reward them for anything, you're not having any practice time. But at some point, you do got to send a message to the guys who are playing right now, like, you got to rotate a little bit, man. Like you do got to step out and not give up. What was it? 22 three-pointers that they gave up to Utah, made three-pointers in this one.
And really it's more attempts. When we look at the Lakers and how well they're defending, it's how many attempts are they giving up? Cause when they're defending well, that's limited. And it was 48 a shot, you know, three mm-hmm. point attempts, almost 50 attempts from deep. So yeah, no, absolutely. Our rotations are bad. Keith and Mark are particularly slow. Mm-hmm. So this isn't something that it was like, oh, this lineup was bad, but that lineup was good. Our first quarter I thought was good. It's just there's a bit of a math problem where we can't make shit from three, and Utah's been just raining fire all year from three.
Yeah.
And so just our foot speed with some of the lineups is slow, but we ran into a math problem tonight for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that was it, it's the nth degree version of the math problem, right? It's it's like when people are asking, hey, you know, what do analytics look like? That's what the game, that's the example in the dictionary is the box score from this one, where even in that first quarter, I think they finished at 23-24, right? And the people who, you know, because obviously I cover, I follow people all around the league. So, and our boss is David. So we follow some Jazz Twitter people, and they were kind of saying like, oh, it was kind of an ugly first quarter. Things weren't, you know, necessarily going in the way, not the best reads. Oh, hey, they lead by one, you know, whereas like Lakers fans are saying, hey, yeah, this is better than it's been recently. This is
that's great. The thing. It's like our floor game was better than them, but they just still outshot us by, I think they made like 5-6 more threes in the first quarter than we did. And yeah, eventually when we stopped playing as well, you know, with our floor game, they hit three straight threes to take it from 1 to 10 in the span of three possessions. Now that was pretty much it.
Yeah, that they never looked back after that. I want to take a quick second here, and when we come back, I do want to talk about the shooting, because I think this is the only actual concern facing the Lakers right now, is the shooting. And you know, as much as easy as it is, and honestly, frankly, you know, I agree with a lot of it when people say, hey, this is, you know, I'm still not very worried about this team. They're going to get healthy and all that stuff. I agree with most of it. The shooting, though, is a little different. So when we come back, I want to talk about that. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today in a daily podcast, breaking down the biggest news stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. Today's show is brought to you in part by betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% deposit bonus. Unfortunately, we didn't have one yesterday, and I would have told everybody to go and put damn near their house on the Lakers not covering against Utah. I did put a couple doll hairs on it and am a little wealthier as a result. Today's bet of the day, so you have it between the Sacramento Kings in New York getting 2 points. You have the Clippers in Memphis giving 7.5 points, and you have the Washington Wizards in Denver getting 7 points. So in this one, the one that I'm kind of interested in here seems kind of like one of those weird lines that seems low. I know Washington is playing really well. They won 5 in a row, and then lost to the Clippers on the second night of a back-to-back, pushed the Clippers just a little bit. More than maybe you would have envisioned. And yes, Denver has been up and down so far this year, but I just think Denver at home giving only 7 points to Washington seems a little low. So that's the direction that I'm going to go in with this one. You could fade me, you could follow me, whatever you choose to do, make sure you do so at betonline.ag, and then use our promo code LOCKEDON for that 50% deposit bonus. Just to make sure that whatever gambling you do, please do so responsibly. When the Lakers were playing their best this year, when they looked their most overwhelming, especially offensively, it wasn't so much that they were generating that much better looks. It was that they were knocking all of those looks down, right? We had Alex Caruso was shooting north of 50% from three-point range. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was shooting in the high 40s. LeBron was shooting in the 40s. Kyle Kuzma was shooting in the 40s. And you know, when the entire team is shooting that well, it is going to be overwhelming. But it did kind of feel like, yeah, at some point they're going to regress. It's just a matter of how far they're going to regress. What is the reality here? And with KCP, I think I'm less concerned about what reality is, because we saw him shoot really well in the postseason. But with guys like Caruso, guys like LeBron, and guys like Kuzma, we don't have that necessarily to fall back on. And while I agree when people say like, yeah, this is what okay to bad shooters even look like when their legs aren't under them. I don't know what kind of shooter those guys are, how they're going to shoot. Cause even when Caruso was knocking everything down, he was passing up on open looks. And that screams to me of somebody who is shooting above his own expectation level for himself. And so I'm just kind of curious, Pete, like, we know that they're regressing. We now know that they are capable of regressing to the mean. I just want to know where you think that mean sits.
Yeah, I think we're ultimately a middle of the pack three-point shooting team, maybe slightly below average. We only have one shooter, guy who you would describe like that, in KCP. Mm-hmm. And the other guys are going to have hot streaks and cold streaks because they're not pure shooters. LeBron, Caruso, Kuz, they're not that, right? Keefe, these are all guys that can do that. It's a combination of our one real shooter was off for like a month, mm-hmm. right? Then in recent games, right, in the last 10 games or so, I don't know how long it's been, LeBron has cooled way off. And then same thing is true with, so all of those kind of inconsistent guys are cold at the same time. It's also related back to the shot creation in the first mm-hmm. place. Like, you're right that we were shooting well, like relative to the looks that we were getting, but we were creating more and better looks earlier in the season as well. Right.
I meant that compared to last year, not so much compared to now. Compared to now, they aren't generating anything.
Sure. Right.
Compared to now, it's just kind of ugly.
Yeah. We get Dennis back on Friday. Well, I don't know that for sure. That's what hopefully get Dennis back on Friday. And again, losing both AD and Dennis, it's fatal. And it's almost like having a really nice car, but it runs on three engines. I know the analogy falls apart here. Like, and two of them are out, right? And mm-hmm. so it's a really nice car. And if you had an engine in it, then, you know, and all we've got is LeBron at this point, who is exhausted. His three ball is not falling. He can't do it all. Right. Mm-hmm. Especially at this point of year, like he could, but this is not the time of year to really access that. Right. There's also the most interesting part of this stretch to me, Anthony, has been some of Vogel's decisions. Like, how does Vogel had a problem pop up out of nowhere, which is exactly this. Like, I have a ton of individual shot creation. And then the next day, like the next game, I have LeBron and that's all right.
Yeah.
Like, he's the only dude who can dribble, really. I thought that was part of the reason he put THT in the starting lineup, right? Is to have another guy who could drive and attack the basket. And he helped our offense, at least in that first shift. But yeah, seeing Vogel's decision-making has actually been the most interesting part of navigating. And I think all of that plays into, like, we haven't run a ton of pick and rolls. If we wanted our shooting to improve right now, mm-hmm. it's more ball screens. We run some spread spread pick and roll with Trez and THT in the fourth, but the game is already over at that point. But we're mostly running our sets, all of the stuff that we normally do, with significantly worse shot creators. And we're not getting very many good looks, on top of guys being cold, on top of guys being tired. So it's problems kind of compounding on each other. I think that starting the Friday game with Dennis coming back, I think you see a different team from there, because you're not operating at that complete deficit.
Sure as hell hope so. I can't watch much more of this. The nice thing is I don't have another game to react to. You and I get to talk tomorrow, and there isn't an immediate game to react to. Hopefully there'll be some news, I think, on the not that I know anything, but hopefully there'll be some news on the personnel front to get a little bit more clarity of what the Lakers are thinking about doing here. I wanted to talk about the THT minutes and the way that he was used in this one. It was one of the lone bright spots, I think, at least from a theoretical standpoint. In practice, right, it wound up falling off because I think everybody was just bound to fall off. But I thought that over this last stretch, since especially once AD went down, THT has really felt the brunt of it more than just about everybody else. Mm-hmm. And I think that has a lot to do with, like, he plays a completely different game when AD and LeBron are out there. He literally just gets to go out there and focus on, every time you touch the ball, try to create something. Just try to go out there and either get into the key, and the game's going to be super simple. The defense is going to be completely aware of these other guys on the court, and this is what the game is going to look like for you. And I thought that, it wound up playing out that Vogel really aligned THT's minutes in this one with LeBron to try to assume some more of that normalcy, some more of that, hey, let's get back to the simplicity that you were benefiting from earlier on this year by having LeBron out there, and he's at least going to create something by just being on the court. And that might allow you to get into the key a little bit better. Tough thing is, like, eventually a team that is coached by Quinn Snyder is going to figure out even that. And so long as the Lakers aren't knocking down shots, they're going to collapse the key nonetheless. And I really think that's what we wound up saying over the course of that game, as like shift by shift, THT became less and less and less productive out there.
Yeah, that was my first reaction to it. Was like, oh, lineup change. It was like, oh, THT's first start with, he drives to the rim more than any guard in the NBA, like in terms of his percentage of mm-hmm. jumpers versus going to the basket. And, or at least he's right up there near the top. And I was like, oh, your first start is against Rudy Gobert. Good luck with that. Like,
right. Yeah.
Good luck with that style of play. And he got, you know, he ISO'd on him and got swatted on one and didn't finish over Gobert. He's one of the rare guys that can match the arm angles that Gobert is, that can match the arm angles of THT. So rarely does THT
both
have
like
to alter
wacky
his
arm
shot.
Inflatable guys.
Exactly.
Standing there and flailing at each other. Yeah,
exactly. So, I think you're totally right that pairing him with LeBron is one of the things that Vogel looks to do to, you know, in his development, especially with AD out. I think that once we get back to full strength, I think that it's probably time for him to come out of the rotation. Mm-hmm. And tighten that up a little bit. We'll see what happens when Dennis gets back. But it's been a learning experience, and he's hit a wall over the last 10, 15 games.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's take another quick second here. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the reaction to this game. And I know analysis of analysis isn't the most intriguing radio or content or whatever, but it annoyed me enough to where I feel the need to address at least some of it. February is Black History Month, and the Locked On Podcast Network is honoring the challenges and success of Black men and women in sports with a new series called Locked On Presents More Than the Game. This week, we have two conversations for you to wrap up the month. First, a discussion on protests in sports across leagues. Then tune in for a discussion on the importance of Black history in sports, what's been achieved, and the important work left to be done, all in discussion on the Locked On Presents podcast feed. Subscribe on the radio.com app or wherever you get podcasts. Today's show is brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Head on over to rockauto.com, where you will visit a family business that has been doing this for over two decades now, and you are going to find the best collection of parts that you can possibly find on the internet. It is getting insane. The more high-tech these cars get, the more difficult it is to find the proper part, and that makes it all the easier for the big companies to mark up all of the parts that you might need should anything go wrong with your car. Well, rockauto.com is here to help you avoid all of those kinds of messes as best you can. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil. Your car needs carpet? They have that too. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specs, and prices you prefer. And most importantly, the prices you see are going to be the same for everybody, regardless of your driving background. So again, head on over to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck, and then write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Stat that I meant to give in the last segment, I've had it pulled up this whole time. Pickup who tweeted out that the Lakers are now at the 20, sitting 25th in terms of three-pointers attempted, three-pointers made, and three-point percentage.
Oof, we were right up near the top at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, man, that is quite the fall off a cliff. But all right, so it took four games to bring back the gem of analysis of, hey, if the Lakers saw this team in the postseason, Do you think you know the Lakers are going to have the two best players, but how long do you have to go until the Lakers' third best player comes up? If you're to list players, guys by guys, and it's like, we're doing this again, huh? We're right back here. We didn't learn a thing from 3 months ago, or what was it, 4 months ago, however long it was that the Lakers played in the postseason. And that same exact version of analysis was proven stupid 4 straight series. And I'm just kind of curious, apart from disingenuousness, right? Because it's easy to just kind of say like, yeah, Tim McMahon just doesn't pay attention to the Lakers. So this is maybe his first Lakers game that he watched in a little while, and it happens to be this one. And he fired off a bad take. As easy as it is to just like say that's what's going on there, I'm just kind of curious. Like, will Lakers role players ever get their due credit, or is the top of the roster so strong that it kind of breaks the analysis?
Yeah, it's
kind of tough to ask after this one, as the Lakers are, like I said, shooting way they are, but still.
Well, I mean, look, it depends on who's doing that analysis, right? Like, one of the things about the Lakers is that nobody's agnostic about the Lakers, which I always say, everybody's got an opinion or feelings. And for 29 teams, some significantly more than others, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the Lakers are not the good guy, right? And no matter what your position is, you see them through a lens. Like, we're the big bad Lakers. We're, you know, Darth Vader in the Empire to a lot of the league. And so it's easy to see the bad in somebody that you don't like, for one. And secondly, the team is, and this is one of the big reasons we're struggling right now, like, not every team would struggle. Like, so Utah, for example, if they were missing, who's their second and third best shot creators, right? So for one, you know, you've got Mike Conley. I'd say Mitchell's number one. Like, yeah,
the system. Right. I think he's like Ingles, I think, right? So
let's say Conley and Ingles, or Conley and Bogdanovich.
Yeah.
If those two guys were out, they wouldn't struggle as much as we would, because they've got more guys who can get their own shot, right? Yeah. You've got Jordan Clarkson off of the bench. You've got whichever one other than Bogdanovich or Ingles, they've got some. Like, Bogdanovich was a nearly 20 point per guy per game guy in Indiana, and is a perimeter guy and had some ball handling responsibility. And so the Lakers roster is constructed around that being taken care of already. And you've only got so much money left over. And so these guys can defend. And that's really who our third star is on this team. And if it's an either they defend or they hit threes, like, the consistent thing that we're going to get, not in the dog days of the season necessarily, but when the games matter, is I know Alex Caruso is going to defend every important game. He's going to defend his ass off. Even a Wes Matthews. I know Wes is going to be, for his salary,
he's going to try.
Mark Gasol, right, is another guy who's going to provide you consistent defense, in the respect that, like, what he does well. Are there teams that he's too slow for? Like, this is a team that I'm curious how much Mark would play in a series against Utah, right? Because our big advantage is AD at the five against Gobert. Gobert can't guard AD one-on-one. And so how much does Mark play in a situation like that, right? But each of these guys, what they're dependable at, they're more dependable on the defensive end than they are on the offensive end. And so when talking about the analysis of this team, it's like, yeah, they've got holes in their game, and that they're not going to, like, Alex, when somebody's out, Alex isn't going to have a stretch of like, oh, Schroeder's out, so he's going to average 16 and 7 for five games. It's right. Just not, he can't do it.
He's a role player suited to that role.
That's right. And he's great at his role. Right. Mm-hmm. But in the absence of those other things, the importance of being good at those other things is tied to the presence of the on-ball skills. And since we're lacking that, so, like, look, people are going to do their thing. A big part of why, like, a lot of people understand the what of basketball, but not as much the why. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think we need to work, you know, more toward, which isn't to say the Lakers don't have holes or don't have weaknesses in their game, but that's why you're going to get that type of analysis. And, you know, we could still go on a big run in the playoffs, and then LeBron and AD are going to be the ones that get the lion's share. Then again, Alex Caruso just had it. How many like seventh men in the NBA have their own commercial? And then he just got a shoe deal too, yeah, right? And KCP got a ton of love. So if you're a great role player for the Lakers, man, D. Fish, Robert Horry, AC Green, all them dudes have like lifelong gigs with the Lakers or around the Lakers orbit. Mm-hmm. So there's a good side to it too. But yeah, you're not going to get a ton of credit.
Yeah, I think it's more just because, you know, the type of game that was going on and the fact that, you know, my wife and I have instituted this no drinking during the week policy, and I can't like just sit there and at least like cool myself down with something to numb me a little bit. So I think, you know, I got a little extra snappy, but as I'm seeing all this go down, it's just like you don't honestly think anybody thinks you're unbiased in this, right? Like
it's the way it's always been though. I guess
that's how it's always been, but there are a lot of people who do stuff like this, who analyze the game the way that they do, who will swear up and down and block anybody on Twitter who claims to say that they aren't that they have a bias that comes into their analysis, right? And that's where I just kind of roll my eyes. It's like, I know I have my biases about this Lakers team. I know I have my biases. You know what I'll say? And you guys can knock me. Like, somebody got angry at me today because apparently I have segments where I bet against the Lakers, which, like, yeah. And if I'm giving betting advice, I don't want to cost people money. But I think I'm less biased in my analysis than I am about like the Celtics. You know, it's so, and I think that says a lot about like sports in general, right? It's like a family, the team that you root for, you love your squad, and you can say things about your squad, just like somebody can say something about your brother that you say all the time, but that's going to piss you off when they say it, right? And like, as a result, I'm going to hold my family, or I'm going to hold this Lakers team to a higher standard than I would the Celtics, right? Because like when I hop on Twitter, I'm just going to jump on Twitter and make a joke about the Celtics.
Oh yeah.
Every single opportunity I can.
100%. 100%.
And so like, you know, all I ask is that like people are honest about what they're doing when they do that stuff. You know, if you're going to hop on there and you're going to crack your jokes about the Lakers because you're a Kings fan or a Blazers fan or a Mavericks fan or a Jazz fan or any of the other fans whose lives the Lakers have made miserable, then do it, man. Like, let her rip. It's part of the fun. But don't hop on there as Mr. High and Mighty analysis guy. Offer up a bit of that disingenuous analysis and then get annoyed when people point out the disingenuousness about it. That's where I would probably get the most angry when I see stuff on Twitter. That's what I saw tonight. It just pissed me off.
Do you feel better getting that off your chest?
I do. I feel a little bit better. I'd feel a hell of a lot better if I had a glass of wine. I'm not going to lie.
What's the rule on that? Is it Fridays or Saturdays you can start?
Usually because my Fridays are typically Thursdays, right? Like my weekend starts on Fridays. We used to do Thursdays, but then you just wind up sitting there drinking by yourself and it's just not, you just like feel alcoholic.
It gets dark very quickly. Yes.
Right. So Fridays at 5 o'clock, as soon as Jen gets home, I'm sitting there with an old fashioned in my hand and then, you know, all the way through Sunday. But yeah, it's helped a lot. I got to say, I feel a hell of a lot better. I think I've lost like 15 pounds.
Nice.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I see it in your face. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, man. All right. That's going to do it. We're going to end on a positive note. That's what we're going to do. We're going to end on that positive note. And Pete and I are going to come back and talk to you guys a little bit more after we sit on this one and hear more of the fallout from this one. See if this kind of pushes the Lakers in a direction of making a move. You have some?
No, I was just going to say that, like, to whatever degree people are worried, I think that getting Schroeder back on Friday, like, these are the games, good or bad. I like judge these upcoming games a lot more than these last four. These, like, I thought we'd have a shot in the Washington game and we needed to get that, but the other two. We beat Miami, we beat Washington if Schroeder plays. We probably lose to Brooklyn and Utah. And if that happens, right, we're totally fine. But yeah, just to anybody who's like really upset or worried, like look to these next few games to see how that goes, because we just needed one more guy.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody honestly, unemotionally worried about the Lakers right now. I think there are people like myself. I am worried about aspects of the Lakers, right? The shooting is something that I'm legit kind of nervous 100%. About. Mm-hmm. And the shot blocking ability whenever AD is not in there is also something that gives me pause. But in general, like big picture standpoint, I don't think there are very many people who unemotionally could sit back, do their analysis of this team, and still walk away from it like, okay, they suck. They need to make major changes. I don't think that's really going on. I hope not. If you're listening to the show and that's how you feel, let me know in the reviews and I'll talk you off the ledge. But I can't imagine there are very many people who actually feel that way. All right. That's going to do it, though, for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Pete and I will be back tomorrow to react to the fallout of this one. This felt like one of those losses, by the way, that you do start hearing some rumblings about names that the Lakers might be either looking at as potential buyout candidates, right, or guys that are currently on the market that the Lakers might bring in for a 10-day, something like that. Like, this felt like that kind of game where the legs are so clearly not there and the team has become so stagnant that maybe you get something like that. So if we do get anything like that, we'll react to it in tomorrow's show. Until then, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Talk to you tomorrow.